Hey everyone, this is Alyssa Amoroso, and you may know me as Publicity on Instagram, but now I'm putting my phone down to chat with everyone from reality stars to fashion influencers to leading industry execs. We're going to be dishing on the things you don't see on social media, so turn your volume up because things are about to get juicy. This is the Publicity Podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Happy Wednesday. It is a good day because we are alive. And although we are stuck inside, still, we will make it through. I actually wish I was telling myself that like 3 days ago because I did actually recently have a mental breakdown about coronavirus, but we'll get into that in a little bit. Hello, everyone. I am your host, Alyssa Amoroso. Back at it. I have such an exciting guest today. I am talking to Dolores Catania from The Real Housewives of New Jersey. For those of you that are new here, let me just give you a little bit of a background. For those of you that have been listening for 2 years, I'm sure you've heard me say this 9 million times, but I am originally from Montville, New Jersey. Montville is the home of Teresa Giudice, Melissa Gorga. So like, I'm one with the Jersey Housewives. Like, this is my jam, my stomping grounds. Every time they go to the bar, that is the bar in my town. So I feel a little bit of like a kinship towards the women because we come from the same place. And Dolores specifically, her son goes to Sacred Heart University and I went to Sacred Heart University. And there's just a lot of connections there. So I love talking to her. She is cut from the same cloth as me. Like I said, Italian roots, they run deep, especially in New Jersey. And she is just the best. Like, what a delight. Before we even started recording, we were like chatting and she's renting an apartment for the summer that's near where I live. And she's like, what's your phone number? Let's go for a walk. I'm like, oh my God, that was the worst New Jersey accent ever. And I'm just like, oh my God, like, I would love to go for a walk with you. You are just the nicest person ever. So hopefully we will. I love her. But before I hop into that episode, I'm going to just catch you guys up a little bit on my life. Things have been interesting for me because in the beginning of Corona, I was like feeling how we were all feeling, where you just want to rip your hair out and scream and be like, what is my life? But as I started to transition from New Jersey to New York, like I would, what I do regularly is I'll stay in New York Monday through Thursday or Monday through Friday. And then my sister and her husband have a car. So they pick me up and we drive down to my shore house for the long weekend. Usually we do like a Friday to a Sunday or a Thursday to a Sunday or a Friday to a Monday, whatever it may be. And that was giving me some sense of normalcy because I was kind of feeling like I was living a regular life because that's what I do anyway in the summer. I go down the shore on the weekends or I go to the Hamptons or I go see friends. So that was giving me like a little bit of a change of environment because I was, you know, 4 days in the city, 3 days down the shore or vice versa, whatever it may be. And I was loving it. So the past 2 weekends, I haven't gone down the shore because, as I mentioned on last week's podcast, someone that I was in close proximity with was potentially exposed to the coronavirus. And things turned out okay. Thank God they didn't have it, which is like really weird considering they had every symptom. But they got tested twice. None of us got it. It was just like a really weird, like freak accident type of thing. Not accident, but you know what I mean. It was just too similar. But anyway, because of that, I haven't gone down the shore in 2 weekends. So now I'm on like my third week in the city and I love my apartment. It is my oasis, but like, there's only so much you could do when you're stuck inside. I mean, I go for walks every single day, but it has been 95 degrees all week and super humid. So it's almost like not even enjoyable to walk. So I just feel like very trapped these days. And I feel like when you feel so trapped like that, it lends itself to a really unhealthy environment in the sense of just like, you're not moving a lot. Even if you are working out, it's like, what, that's an hour or two of your day. And then you're sitting around the rest of it. Like, it's just gross. I'm so sick of feeling stationary. So I made a commitment this week to try to get my screen time down because I feel like I've been on my phone so much because there's really nothing else to do. And for someone like me that works from home, it's so easy to sit on your phone because I email from my phone, I edit my TikToks, I edit even my podcasts. Like I literally do every single thing I do for work, I do on my phone. So this week I've really tried to get away from that. So for example, like right now when I'm recording this, I have my phone in the other room on the charger. I've been trying to put it down when I do my emails and just put on like relaxing music and not let myself pick it up. And I've actually noticed a really big difference in my productivity. So I kind of just wanted to recommend that to you guys. If you're feeling the same way, like quarantine has made you addicted to your phone, just put it down and just challenge yourself. I'm not going to lie, I'm not perfect. Monday, I was amazing. I think my screen time was down by like 3 hours than what it normally is. But yesterday, I sat on my phone all day. I'm not going to lie. Like, I did not hold true to my commitment at all. But today, I'm trying to be back to it. So, you know, it doesn't have to be every single day of your life. You don't have to change everything at once. But I am noticing a little bit of a difference with my productivity. And I just hope that you guys do the same. If you're used to like working in your bed, get out of it. Go sit on your couch. Go sit on the kitchen table. Like do something to switch it up. That's what I'm trying to do this week. But aside from like me being alone in quarantine, there's really no life updates. I'm still trying to use the dating apps and it's really been unsuccessful for me. I will match with someone. They'll message me. They'll ask me questions. And then that's it. Like I had this one guy talking to me for 3 days straight, never took it from the app to text message. Like we just talked on the app all day. And I was like, this is a little weird because we live in the same neighborhood. Like he lives literally 2 minutes away. And he wasn't like, hey, let's go for a walk or hey, let's get a drink now that there's outdoor dining. So I was kind of like, why are you wasting my time talking to me? Like I genuinely don't get it. And it was weird. Like, why are we wasting all this time getting to know each other if we're never going to meet? Part of me got the vibe that he was maybe, like, a little nervous with Corona, which is fine. But then, like, don't reach out and don't talk to me because you're wasting my time. That's honestly how I feel. So dating's been really weird. I'm 29. I'm single. I live in Manhattan. I think I'm great. So if you guys know anyone, could you set me up? Please, like I'm begging my followers. Like, how do you guys not have any eligible bachelors for me? I don't understand. So dating is like at such a standstill and it definitely sucks. But like, I also don't want to walk up to a first date anyway, wearing a mask and like not being able to hug hello. And like, what if you get drunk and you want to kiss the guy and like you can't kiss them because Corona? So As cool as it sounds to like take this time to get to know someone and like get to know them over Zoom, I don't know. Like it's just, I'm open to it. Like I really am, but I'm also not like super in love with the idea. I feel like I've heard so many success stories on TikTok or Instagram where people are like, yeah, we've been talking for 4 months and we're in love and now we're quarantining together. And like, I'm so happy that's your journey, but it's just not mine right now. Like every man I talk to is either living at his parents right now in quarantine, not in the city or in the city, but not trying to make moves. So what I'm really trying to do is just focus on myself. I've been just like tracking what I'm eating so I could track my calories. I know people say not to track calories, like food freedom and this and that, da, 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 whatever. I'm just going to be frank. That doesn't work for me because like when I've talked to nutritionists or people in the past and they tell you, you know, just eat whole, good, healthy foods. It is true. And then they tell you like, you know, don't use Pam spray, use olive oil or don't use this, use that. But what I notice is that like a lot of those healthy foods are really high in fat and super caloric. So if I'm not using Pam spray and I'm cooking everything in olive oil has 120 calories per tablespoon. I'm adding like 300 extra calories to my day. That's just not needed. So I am counting calories. So sorry, health experts. I'm obviously eating nutritious food that it is whole and I'm really not buying anything like super processed at all. I eat, you know, vegetables, mainly meat, some cheese, some dairy if I like want to, but really not even much. But I have been using like cooking spray and chicken broth instead of olive oil. And it's really just cutting my calories by so much, and it's just so much healthier. So I think the key is really just finding something that works for you. And I feel like I've actually really found a balance that is working for me. So I'm really just trying to focus on eating well, getting my long walks or workouts in, and just trying to like focus on me, reading my self-help books, which like I haven't even been that great at that because, again, I have a phone addiction and then I find myself on my phone. So hopefully now that I'm putting my phone down more, I could focus on reading and really just kind of detaching from social media a little bit. So that's what I'm up to. Really nothing much. Going back down the shore Thursday night we're going to go. So we're going to spend Thursday night there, work from home there Friday, which is good for me because maybe I could shoot some beach content, which would be great. So yeah, guys, that's what I'm up to. If you want to set me up with someone, slide into my DMs. I'm open. And here's my chat with Dolores. I hope you guys liked my little catch up. And if you guys are new here and this is your first time listening to my podcast, thank you so much for dealing with that, because you're probably like, I don't know this girl and I have no idea what I'm listening to right now. But my name is Alyssa Amoroso. I am a former entertainment publicist turned influencer, and I'm on TikTok, Instagram, doing my thing, but my real love is pop culture and I love interviewing people. I love honestly just keeping it light and having girl chat and not making them feel like they're being interrogated, which is why you don't really hear me like hounding them with the hard questions all of the time. I just want it to be a safe space for women, and I never want people to come on my podcast and feel like they said something they regret. So that's what this is. So if you want to just hear a really wholesome, great conversation with Dolores, this is it. Please keep listening, and I hope to see you guys next week. Don't forget to subscribe and follow me on Instagram. It is spelt the same way as the podcast name, PubliSSITY. I'll talk to you guys later. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Publicity Podcast. I'm already catching up with my guests, so I was like, we need to hit record. I'm Dolores Catania. Hi, Dolores.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So we just figured out before we started that we live in, well, we're from similar areas, and then we live in similar areas now. What brings you to Manhattan? You got an apartment?
It was kind of a fluke. Well, first of all, my dream was to have an apartment in Manhattan when I was like in fifth grade. Like living in the city was always something I would say, oh, that'll never be me, but I wish I could. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is my son got an internship at Oppenheimer and I got him this apartment so that he wouldn't have to come home at night after long hours of working and his thing. So it was canceled. And I subleased it from a girl. And I felt like, I don't want to stick her with this lease. She thought she had it leased out. So I'm going to make it my little dream, which I did. It's adorable. I like actually hung pictures of myself up.
Wait, that is like so nice. And it kind of just goes to show everything happens for a reason.
Am I corny to do that? Like my daughter walked in. She's like, oh my God, like you got enough pictures of yourself around here. But I don't put pictures of myself up. I don't even hang pictures on my walls in my house. So I made it my little oasis.
Wait, that's so cute. So, okay. So funny enough, I went to Sacred Heart University.
And yes.
And so like, it's so funny because I have all these connections because I'm from Montville. So I'm like obviously from where Melissa and Teresa are from. Very different like grades from their kids. Obviously I'm much older than their children. So I don't know them well, but just like so many connections. I've met Melissa. We always like joke and talk about that. Like we're Montville girls. And then I see on the show that your son goes to Sacred Heart and I'm like, that's my college. That's where I went. So there's just,
that is so nice. It's beautiful there. He just walked out of the house 5 minutes ago and asked me to post about finding an apartment for him up there. One bedroom.
Oh, so I lived in an off-campus house. It's fun. Like Connecticut is so nice. And I feel like similarly to New Jersey and New York, there's like really good restaurants. Like it's yes. Still kind of that same like vibe a little bit. I love it. Okay. So he's staying there with you like during the summer or like now what's the apartment situation like?
Apartment situation is just me. It's mine. My kids have not been there. They don't even care to see it. I'm like, anybody want to see my apartment? They're like, no. Mm-mm. So I go there by myself and I just walk around. I only walk in the same spot all the time because I don't know my way around.
All right, we're going to go for we discussed.
You have to show me. And I only have it until August. So I don't know how much. I've only slept there twice.
Okay.
So imagine paying, like, this is a mortgage for me.
Oh, it's ridiculously expensive. But, I mean, go do your walks, enjoy it, live vicariously through. It's weird because Corona, like, the city's really empty right now, but I almost like it better because you're able to do outdoor dining and walk around and kind of experience the city without it being, like, so, so populated.
Right.
So right. I feel like it's a good time to kind of explore and get to see the neighborhood.
It is. It is. And I feel that way too. And the traffic is so much less than it would normally be. I get there in 35, 40 minutes. And if I want to come home and not stay, because my dogs are home, so I feel guilty about leaving them overnight. So I come back, but it's just my little thing.
I love it. I love that you have something for yourself. So where have you even like been quarantining? Which house are you in these days? Like, I'm not even sure where you're
living. Good question.
You're living with.
I'm not sure where I'm living either. So, as you know, I go back and forth from David's house, yes. But I'm in my house in North Hailden. That's where I'm staying. And this is mine. I own it. I'm going to do some things to it, but stay tuned.
I love that. You know, I love an independent woman. It's like, I'm not ready to fully move into your house because unless you kind of live by my terms and my rules, then this is how it's going to be. And I'm that way too. Maybe it's like the Italian, the way I was raised, but I'm like, well, I want to be respected and these are the things I want and you'll get everything when you treat me that way.
Or you won't. And that's just, it's just the way it is. And you know, I tell so many young girls, like, don't let somebody waste your youth. I don't have much left. I'm 50 years old. But I still have my principles left, and that's number one. So if you can – I've seen so many girls stay with a guy who didn't want to commit to them in their 30s. They're late 20s. They're out of college early. So and then they're with this guy for, like, 10 years who doesn't want to commit to them. And then all of a sudden – they break up, the guy gets married in 6 months and they're devastated and they've wasted a lot of their time that they could have grown with someone and built a life with someone. They've wasted. You can never get your time back. And if somebody isn't going to do the right thing by you when they should, they never will. Yeah. So a guy, I say a man is who he is by the time he's 18. Mark my words on that. If he's a worker, if he's a go-getter, if he's driven when he's getting out of high school, then that's who he's going to be. But you can't fix somebody in their 20s, or you have to wait till they're in their 50s and they get tired.
That's so interesting. Yeah. I've always kind of been raised similarly, and I feel like I'm single, but trying to like rush into the wrong relationship. And like you said, waste time with the wrong guy. So
no, I think no. You can't do it. You can't do it. It'll take you down.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think, so I don't know if you watch Real Housewives of New York City.
I have.
Okay, you have. So I think it's funny because Leah's relationship with her daughter's father is the only like situation that we've seen on the show where it's kind of similar to yours, where they're like best of friends. And I was like, so funny because it reminds me of
Leah's by us too, you know.
Oh, yeah. She lives downtown. Oh, my God. That's so funny. I'm trying to get her on my podcast, too. I need to talk.
I'll get it. Did you talk to her? She's so nice.
Okay. I need to. We'll discuss.
Just DM her. She's so nice. Okay. I DM'd her because I saw her on the show. Like, I wanted to, you know, I like as a housewife to invite new people. Like, just say welcome. If you need anything, don't worry. Or, you know, I just like to do that because I remember no one did it for me.
And also, like, New York and New Jersey, you guys run into each other. It was funny because on an episode of Real Housewives of New York, you see Melissa in the background of one of the fashion shows during New York Fashion Week.
And oh, you did?
Yeah, I was laughing because I'm like, obviously, they're not going to address the fact that she's there because they're filming New York. Right. And it's just funny because you guys do run in the similar, like,
They should do that, though. I think that they should sometimes. Yeah, like, that they should put it together and just see the dynamics of how we mesh.
I know.
They might get a show out of that one.
And it's really like 25 miles away. Like, it's not, I mean, you guys live very close. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so Leah's dynamic with her baby's, she's not a baby, her child's father is so funny because it reminds me of yours. So I feel like it's interesting to see that dynamic play out on TV now twice, where you guys are just like great examples of women that get along really well with
their father. It definitely is. And you know, people have to put their egos aside. And I say this all the time too. I counsel a lot of women. I get a lot of DMs. How will I get over this? How will I survive? What do I do? And every situation is significant and different. But there's no difference in the fact that when there's children involved, everybody put their egos, their hurt, whatever it is they're going through aside, and put those kids first.
Yeah. Yeah, you're so right. What do your kids think about, like, your relationship dynamic with Frank playing out on TV? Like, are they just so used to it because their whole life has been you two being on
TV? They're so used to it. So you have to understand, I got pregnant for Frankie and I was almost divorced. I was already separated by the time I had him. So they don't really know any. Gabrielle was three. They don't know anything else. And their friends, that they're like, my friends think you guys are weird. I've heard that from them a couple times. And I'm like, I really don't care what your friends think.
And all kids think their parents are weird at some point.
Yeah, of course. That's normal. And what else? They, you know, I used to threaten them that if they were bad, I would let dad come home. Things like that. And they clean your room, otherwise dad's coming back home. You know, I always used it against them that I would let him come back home. So they're kind of happy the way things are.
Yeah.
But we always parented together. So in that sense, we didn't divorce as parents. We divorced as a couple. Mm. And that is something that I beg and beseech everyone to be that way. Because these kids grow up with a lot of hurt. Don't fight in front of your kids. I went to a therapist when I was getting divorced. And before I got in the room, this kid came out and he was punching the walls. His mother was sobbing behind him. He was about 16, 17 years old, big kid. And I walked in, I passed her up with one kid in a carrier and one kid hanging off my leg. And I sat down and I said, so what do I do? What do I do to stop that? And she said, don't fight in front of them. Wow. And that was the last time I fought with Frank Catania. Wow. And I mean, we were going a couple rounds, fist fighting. I was calling his girlfriend names. I beat his girlfriend up. I tortured him, her. I did everything. It was never nonstop. But it was affecting my kids. He was fighting with me. He wasn't happy. You know, it's funny because after guys leave, all of a sudden they realize, well, maybe I want to go. Maybe I want to come home. Maybe the grass isn't greener. Mm-hmm. Well, now you don't have that option. So, you know, then he would take things out on me. Even after the separation, there were fights. There were fights. There was a lot of emotions. Emotions do not travel in rational channels. That's another thing I learned. So at that moment on, I never had heated arguments or fights with him again.
Wow. I think that's what I like about you is that I'm like sensing a theme is that you live and you learn. And I'm kind of the same way. It's like, I learn through mistakes, unfortunately. Like, I feel like I always like have to kind of learn the hard way sometimes, but then I will never make that mistake again. Like, I kind of use my life experience to learn. And I feel like, you know, that's the only way you can get better and do things and be like role models for your children, for other people. So I think it's a great way for your kids to see how strong you are.
Yes, it is. And if I'm not strong, they don't need to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, yeah.
I'll put that aside and go in another.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No, that's okay. It's just that another thing I also tell moms, don't tell your kids things aren't okay. Don't cry in front of them because just don't look for sympathy from your children. That's another thing I have to remind women.
I feel like we've seen you do some charity work and stuff on TV and it's great because you do have a lot of wisdom. Are you still really involved in all those charities and things?
Oh yeah. Oh, big time. They need me more than ever now.
Wow. That's awesome.
So, you know, when the lockdown started, it was the first time I probably have ever sat home that long. And, you know, a week into it, I'm like, oh, okay. First, I was running in circles. I was losing my mind. And then I thought, well, where's all my shelters and where's the hospital? I haven't heard from them. I guess they're good. They don't need me. And just as I was sitting down and like getting ready to read the book and paint my own toenails, that like there was books I had stacked up and the calls started coming in and everyone needed help.
Wow.
The healthcare workers needed help. The hospitals needed donations. The food banks, and now more than ever, the hospitals have now caught up. There's a lot less cases, but the shelters and the food bank lines are getting longer by the day. I'm actually, as soon as I'm off the phone with you, I'm going to Jersey City. My friend Martin Fulton on Instagram, the fashionable couple, and I collect money and donations for the shelter for women and children in Patterson. It's called Oasis. So it's families now. Like, I know the people in the neighborhood because that's where I'm from.
Yeah.
And never left the neighborhood. I'm down there almost every day and when I can be. And I know the people. I know the familiar faces online are still there, but now I have people pulling up with their cars online for food. People I've never seen before, working class people who have lost their jobs.
Wow.
So I'm busy and I need help.
Wow, that is crazy. Well, I'm happy you're talking about it here. Where could people get involved if they do want to help with this?
So if they want to help with this, you can always DM me. I've met some amazing charities. Or you can DM the fashionable couple. Martin Fulton will tell you what we need. He helps me out a lot with this. Him and I have been doing this together. It's not helping. We're doing it together. But he's amazing. And right now we're in need of snacks for kids to show up for a grab and go in the neighborhood. They walk and, you know, they're hungry. There's no food. They're not being fed in school. There's no camps open. We need snacks to get these kids through the day. And that may be their only meal.
I'll reach out to some of the brands that I work with that send me food products and stuff and see if
Oh, my God. Thank you.
I would love to help. I mean, you're right. Like, all we really could do right now is just try to help people. People are, they don't have jobs. Like, luckily, I say this to my family a lot because no one in my family lost their job. And I'm like, we're in such a lucky situation because our, like, Corona experience, yeah, it's annoying, but it's completely different than
right.
people out there that are really, really suffering. So that's awesome. I'm actually happy I asked you about that because if anyone's listening and they're interested in getting involved, I hope they do reach out to you or me or whoever. But that's great that you're doing that. It really is.
No. Well, thank you. I mean, it's nothing and it just anybody that can help. Everyone has something to give. I know a lot of people lost their jobs, but like I said, everybody has something to give, even if you don't have anything. Your old stuff that you're getting rid of, a lot of people are home cleaning out their closets. Bring it to, don't put it in the bin. It doesn't make it to the people. Bring it to a shelter near you. The shelters will take it, even though they're saying they're not, they are.
Yeah, they'll take it. Someone did actually write in with this question, and since we are bringing up, you're from Patterson, how did growing up in that area like shape who you are today?
It shaped everything about me. It was a very diverse area. It was kind of a tough area growing up. You know, I had my first fist fight at 12 years old. Got my ass beat. But, you know, it also, the people in my neighborhood were the salt of the earth and loyal. And things were, what they said, they meant. Words meant a lot. And, you know, I find in the world outside of that, I've lost some of that, like in this industry and things like that. I miss that humble salt of the earth people, you know,
yeah.
And I have great friends that are still in the same neighborhood. They married their first boyfriends from high school. And those are my friends. I have my friend from kindergarten,
wow.
My friend from third grade still there. And a lot of it were, they were first generation in this country. So a lot of my friends had to help their parents pay the mortgage at young ages, you know.
Wow.
So I miss just that whole thing. And people say if you grow up there, you can grow up anywhere. There was 80 different ethnicities in a very small area. So I never left here. I've only been to Europe in the past 2 years. but I knew about so many different cultures, and I knew about the way they lived and about so many different religions. It was a really amazing, beautiful place to grow up.
Wow, that's incredible. Especially, yeah, now I feel like with everything going on, it helps you have empathy and understanding a little bit more. Just, you know, growing up with people from different backgrounds and ethnicities and religions, like you said. One thing that I'm curious about, I was reading some articles because I was curious about like your origin of getting onto the show. And I was reading some articles and it said that you originally were actually going to go on season one, potentially, yeah, as Dina's friend. And you have the background with Caroline. And then I got into this like deep hole because I've been watching the show for so many years now. Literally. I was just like, I was like, where am I? Like, I'm stalking the internet. And then I'm like, wait. I'm like, I forgot that you even came on knowing Caroline and knowing the Manzos, because now you've been on the show so many seasons without them, right, that I just consider you Teresa's friends, and you know, you've known Melissa. And so could you talk me through, like, you grew up with them? Like, when did Teresa come into your life? I know you've all known each other forever.
Oh, so we knew each other peripherally, without each other. It was so this is a small area. Everyone who grew up here stayed here. Yeah. And this is families. This is like legacies of families in this area. So we all know each other, no matter, I'm one of five. So every different age person in my family knows a family of a family member. True. So
yep.
I knew the Manzos from way back, from my dad being friends with them to them now. And, you know, so I know that I signed Dina's marriage certificate. That's how long I knew them. But yeah. Then I have a touchy subject. And Teresa, I knew she used to hang out with the crowd of girls I hung out with. And she used to stay at my shore house when we were like teenagers. She lived very close to me. We used to go to these Italian Roma dances, they called it, be at the same spot. And then, so then Teresa, and then of course, Caroline actually introduced me to Dina. And who else was on? Oh, Jacqueline was their sister-in-law. I knew Jacqueline when she first met Chris, her husband now. And
who do you still keep in touch with out of those women?
Everyone but Dina.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought I read that. And then obviously all this stuff is in the news with Dina lately, which is crazy. Just seeing all of that, it's like it brought me back to like the roots of the show. I was like, all these people are intertwined, and you forget like that. You forget that Caroline and Dina married brothers.
Sisters married brothers.
Yes. Oh my. I was like, this is really like intermingled, all of it.
Incestuous, I call it.
It's funny because my parents are, I'm friends with my friends because my parents are friends with their parents. Similar, like your
that's what this is for me.
Yes, and like all of our siblings are older, and then they all went in certain grades together. It's exactly what you're describing.
That's New Jersey. You know, I meet people in New York. I'm like, hey, and like it's only the other side of New York, which is less than a mile away. And I'm like, oh, do you know this one? She has a 16-year-old daughter, the same age as your daughter. They know each other? They're like, no. I'm like, what do you mean they don't know each other? They live like, I could walk to their house.
Uh-huh.
No, we don't. It's not like that there.
It's so, it is a New Jersey thing. Like even, you know, Rails, obviously the big restaurant in Mottville. We go there like before every holiday, like before the night before Easter, the night before Thanksgiving, we'll all go. And it will be my parents, my older sister, my generation, and then my friends, like younger siblings. And we all are there with our parents.
Oh, that's really
and
nice.
Friends. And it's just like, you know, 75 people in this one little area.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand like New York. You know, it's like kind of a, it's nice for me too, because wherever I go, I know someone, right? Yeah. And then I have to talk to them and I have to remember who they are. And I have to ask them about their mother and their father and their grandfather, and their sisters. I got to remember when I'm in New York, I don't have to talk to anybody unless they're saying hello to me, which I love when people yeah. come up to me and say hello to me. I invite anyone. Please don't ever not say hi to me if you want to. I tell people that I don't want to come home and get a DM. Oh, I saw you in the restaurant when I didn't want to bother you. No, no, no. Come and say hello to me. I want to meet you.
Yeah, that's really nice. speaking of people saying hi to you, you're looking good these days. I heard that you recently, I read that you got like a liposuction.
I got a tummy tuck on this.
Okay. Wait, let's see.
That's why I wear like.
Oh my God. I'm so jealous. You look amazing. Wait, so where's the scar?
Hold on. Let me tell you something. This doctor, hold on. Can you see it?
Basically it would be covered with like a bikini or like a thong.
Doctor, Dr. Joseph Michaels, he's in Maryland, Virginia area, rock star. Go look at his before and afters. You don't even believe that they're real.
I'm going to go stalk later.
And what a gentleman, Dr. Joseph Michaels, what a gentleman. And, you know, I had my face done. I'm no stranger to plastic surgery. Dr. Mark Karolak from the neck up is responsible for this. And from the neck down, Dr. Joseph Michaels.
So, okay, talk me through this because I've been under anesthesia, but for like, you know, dumb stuff, like getting my tonsils out. Do you, like, what is that anxiety like before you go under? Like, are you nervous when you do these things? Because in my head, I'm like, when I reach a certain point, I'm going to do it all too. But there still is this fear attached to it. So, like, how do you detach that from it, that fear?
It's not the fear of the going under that I'm worried about because I've done it. You know what I don't like? There is a memory loss that comes along with anesthesia. They call it anesthesia brain. So you kind of lose a little bit from that, and it takes a little while to get back, which I don't love that part of it.
Yeah.
It's the best sleep you'll ever have. I'm not complaining about that. It's waking up and knowing the way I'm going to feel when I wake up.
Yeah,
when
I'm in pain now.
It's like you wake up and you're like, what did I just do? Especially this time. This was a big one. Tummy tuck is not for the faint of heart. Trust me when I tell you that.
Wow. Okay. So what do they basically just like stretch, remove fat and stretch out the skin to like tighten things up? What is even happening when you get that?
Go look at his before and afters. Okay. It's insane. And then DM him and tell him I said hi.
That's so funny. I obviously haven't had children or anything yet, but I have huge boobs, like double D. And I'm like, I want a breast reduction. And everyone's like, wait until you have kids. And I'm like, can I get two?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Like, I don't
want to wait until you have kids. No. That's different. That's different. If you would feel comfortable, oh my, don't know me. I've gotten 7 phone calls. I'm so sorry.
No worries. It's not interrupting much. Yeah, I know. I'm like, why can't I just get two? Like, we live a long life.
Well, here's the thing. You want it done right the first time and you don't want to have to do it a second time because there's scar tissue. But a breast reduction is something that I know a lot of young girls have done and not one is sorry they did it.
That's true. Because it's more for your lifestyle rather than like the look of it. I can't fit in these cute little summer clothes. Like, you know, everyone's wearing the little strappy things with no bras. I'm like, I can't fit in that. It doesn't work for me.
Yeah, no. Look into it and talk to the doctor about it.
I'm going to message him. I love it. I'm getting so many ideas from talking with you. So I just saw that recently you were where's Melissa's house? Tom's River? You were down the shore for...
I have a house right down the street from her.
Oh, you do? Okay. So my parents have a house in Point Pleasant Beach.
Oh, okay.
So I'm in the area too. And I saw that Melissa had a 4th of July party and you were there.
There's one every year.
Yeah, that's so nice. But it's funny because I also noticed like who's not there. You know what I mean? And it's interesting because, you know, she's friends with Jackie. And my favorite thing between seasons is kind of looking at social media and you kind of like, how things are going to shape up in terms of friendships because
right.
You're hanging out in the off season. Mm-hmm. And so you guys started filming and then you had to stop because of the pandemic. I know we can't really talk much about like teasing anything, but
yeah, that did happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I read online that filming started and then it paused. It's crazy because are you allowed to say when filming is starting back up or do you not even know or could you not
say? We don't know. It's up in the air right now. So
it's interesting because part of me wishes that reality TV in general right now could show some of these families, like, during these times.
I know. You guys are missing out on a lot.
That's what I mean. Like, I just wish that, even if it was people, like, filming it on their phones and submitting it as part of, like, you know, this is what's been going on the last few months. I feel like the family dynamics right now during this time is probably so great, but I understand why film crews, you know, obviously for safety reasons, they can't be going into people's homes and putting people at risk.
There's right going to, I'm sure, be a new protocol in place. So
yeah, it's true. And filming might look differently in terms of dining out and having these big flashy events and all of these things. So I'm curious to see, but do you see yourself continuing to be on TV for years to come? Are you kind of like, I know Teresa's like, I'm a lifer, like I'm in it for the long haul. How do you feel?
I feel the same.
You enjoy it?
I do. I couldn't see myself doing anything else.
I think it suits you well because you're open and you share your life, but it's also like, in a way, I feel like there's a good balance where for some people in other seasons, New Jersey is like very different because you guys are all pretty like down to earth. You live your regular lives. I feel like some of these other shows, it's like so extravagant and so drama filled. And for you guys, you're like, this is kind of who I hang out with. This is what I do anyway.
It's relatable. I feel like we're the most relatable and we are, what you see is what you get. And I get to speak for my whole cast.
Yeah, you're so right.
Yeah.
And do you feel like you went into the show with friendships, but do you think like if it stopped tomorrow, you would leave the show with some of these friendships that you've made through being introduced through the show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it becomes a part of your life. And I would never be bitter or not want to be with anybody on the show. Of course, unless something had happened, life changes all the time. But the way things stand right now, I would want to keep these people. I always say that on their worst day, I would still stand next to them because I know that we all share the same heart. And we're good people deep down. I see the philanthropy. I see the kind of mothers they are. I see how they care for other people. And I really judge people by the way they treat other people.
I think that's the one biggest like differentiator from New Jersey from other seasons of the, like other franchises is that you guys, like we really see you as mothers and family people. And I think some of the other casts don't even show their children on TV at all. Whereas you guys, it's like, that's your heart. Like that is the heart of the show, well, family dynamic.
That's our life. That's a huge, our children, our families, our husbands, our brother and sisters, our siblings, even the people that work for us are such a part of our lives. And it's like, how could we film without them? Because we would have nothing to film. They are who we are and what we do.
Yep. If there was anyone from a former prior season that you wanted to see come back on the show, who would it be?
Prior season from New Jersey?
Yeah, from New Jersey.
Oh, I'm close with Caroline.
I would love to see her back. I think that she would just be like, she just always was relatable, I guess, because she reminds me of like the women that I've grown up with in my life. Like, I just felt like she was such like a matriarch and like family woman and mom. And I think that
she really is.
I think every single person would like to see her back. So I hope one day they make it happen because it would be great.
You never know.
You never know. That would be like the ultimate. I mean, Bethany went back to New York after leaving and we've seen it happen.
Right. Right. Well, we'll see. I mean, hopefully. I don't know.
That's my ultimate. That's my ultimate. I would love to see that. Awesome. All right. I don't want to keep you too long because I know that you're busy, but thank you so much. I mean,
thank you. It's so nice. Please get in touch with me so that we could walk together.
Yes. We're going to go for a walk and
I'll be around next week.
I love it. I'll give you a text.
Where do you walk to anyway?
I just walk around. I take the bike path up along like the water. Where do you like, do you go through the city or do you go on the water paths?
I didn't go on any path yet. I just walk in circles.
Oh, no, no. We're going. Like, I'm going to take you along the water on the pier.
I don't know if I keep going. I don't know where I'll wind up. So I don't.
Okay, you need a tour guide. I got this. You're going to be amazed. It's so beautiful down here, like by the water and stuff. You'll love it.
Thank you so much.
I love it. Thanks so much for chatting, Dolores. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Bye.